My time on Gumbangia country has made me think more deeply about my own relationship with language. I'm a Kamilaroi woman, and like Gumbangia, my language is in the midst of a resurgence. The first step to learning for my generation can be as simple as signing up to an online course, but for whatever reason, I've never found the right time to start, and I've always felt guilty about it. So that's how I ended up here, on a bumpy four-wheel drive track in northwestern New South Wales, where my pop, Neville Binge, grew up. My guide is Gomeroi elder Carl McGrady.
So, yeah, Boomer's 20 k's that way. Mm-hmm. So our mob lived in the bush here. There's no such thing as cars or transport, so...
He knew my grandfather. Pop coached him playing footy.
Me and Uncle Nev, we were really great mates at the time I spent in Tenerfell. More so because I could play football than anything else, but that was his religion.
Yes, it was.
The track we're driving on is deliberately rough. Traditional owners would prefer to keep this spot hidden.
So are these all crops here?
Yep, into that cake. Yeah, mate.
Then, out of nowhere, the scrub clears. We get out of the car and Boobra Lagoon stretches out before us, all 7 kilometres of it.
Of course, this, it's the East Coast Uluru, if you like.
And so how significant is this place for Gomeroi people?
It is the most significant site of all. For us, it's could probably only compare it to Uluru, to the desert people.
This sacred waterhole has been a meeting place for Aboriginal people for millennia.
And not only is it sacred to the Gomeroi people, the place I'll take you tomorrow, hopefully out to the rock pools, that's a song line all the way up to the Gulf Country, where the Kakadu come down every 10 years, the whole big ceremonies with Gomeroi.
And now visiting this spot has become a rite of passage for Kamilaroi people returning to country, which today includes me.
I almost call it a baptism for mob who come home for the first time. Go to Boobra and jump in the water. Then you know you're home.
This is a big part of the reason I wanted to come here. I've been to my country before, but never to the places where Pop grew up. The few Kamilaroi words I do know, I've learnt mostly from books or apps, and it bothers me that my knowledge isn't grounded in place. I want to learn more about how language, country and culture intersect and to find my place within it all.
It's like you and I starting a course in Japanese next week. We could learn the language. I think for me to feel or own the language, I'd have to go to Japan and just, you know, say g'day to someone or whatever. While that's a very extreme example, I believe our culture and our country, we are an isolated country. We were isolated peoples before motor cars and white fella arrived. So where we lived was our whole world. So I always encourage any of my mob, if you really want to know what it's about, come out. And I don't care if you have to stay in a motel in Gundawindi or whatever. Just come back and roll around in the dirt and go to Boobra and have a swim, you know.
So this is where Pop would have...
Oh. No. Your Pop, Nev, he would have been born at New Toomala.
Yeah. Our next stop is Toomala, a tiny Aboriginal town built on the mission where both Uncle Carl and Pop grew up a decade apart. Toomala, or Dumala, means people who move a lot. Kamilaroi families were moved between a few different missions before they settled here, at the junction of the Jimmerik and McIntyre rivers. Uncle Carl didn't know it then, but they were living under the controls of the New South Wales Aborigines Protection Act, which wasn't repealed until 1969. Adults needed permission to work in town, and there were regular house inspections. Parents lived in constant fear of having their kids taken, and speaking language was forbidden.
it's a bit weird, actually, because as a child, it was... when I first went to school, back in the days in the 50s and 60s, teachers were allowed to kick the shit out of us if we weren't speaking the Queen's English. And that's something I didn't identify until I was an adult.
I never heard my pop speak his language. He only started telling stories about the mission towards the end of his life. And even then, he didn't say much.
For us, it was never considered a language. It's who we were, what we grew up with. And to put it in context...
It wasn't until Uncle Carl started teaching in the 1990s that he and some other teachers thought about trying to revive the Gamilaroi language.
It became, for me, it became an obsession almost. And it was, holy shit, 40, 35 years ago. Mm. So it's, and I've been not always in education, but always around it or involved in it, just being a sticky beak about what's going on in town, what's happening with my kids in school, how we teach them, whatever. We decided, let's look at teaching our kids our language before all the old fellas go.
Like the Gumbangia mob, they started by recording conversations with elders, which turned into books and then language courses. There are now more than 90 Gamilaroi speakers, and it's studied in about a dozen New South Wales schools.
I take the country into the classroom, whether it's digging worms, whether it's skinning a kangaroo, whatever it might be.
Uncle Carl reckons the best teaching happens under a tree.
The foundation of our language is our culture, you know. And then some people will argue the foundation of our culture is our language. To me, it's just mixed. It's not a debate.
Often he'll take the kids to Boobra Lagoon to share its creation story, as he does for me.
And the traditional story about the lagoon, about the bumble tree...
Yes.
...is traditionally this was a place, the resting place of the Gadigal.
I should say, the way these stories are told can change depending on what's been passed down through different families or cultural groups. But for now, Uncle Carl tells me the waterhole was traditionally the resting place of the Gadigal, or rainbow serpent.
No one was allowed to come here, ever. And if you could imagine a waterhole like this for thousands of years, just be a veritable teeming with life.
Yeah.
On the land, in the river...
They had to find a way to hunt there, so they picked their strongest warrior.
So I searched around and they came, got their biggest Super Murray. His name was Dalala. So they loaded him up with all his super spears and boomerangs and shields. And he came down to the point and cooed out, "Gadia, Nyamalanye," which just means, "Gadia, look at me."
The Gadia came towards Dalala, fending off his weapons.
So the Gadia just about to grab him, and he turned and he took off up across the plains.
The warrior took shelter under a bumble or native orange tree, the Gadia's mother-in-law.
And the Gadia saw that and he stopped, turned around, because traditionally he's not allowed to approach or speak to your mother-in-law. So Dalala was safe, Gadia turned around, and then he followed his tracks back into the lagoon where he still rests today.
I'd never heard this story before. I knew Boobra Lagoon was special, but hearing it firsthand, standing there, I feel like I've found something I've been looking for. I step into the milky water and feel the grainy mud between my toes. A gust of wind sends down a shower of leaves. I feel content, like someone is saying hello. And I wonder if this is the feeling that others have been describing to me along the way.
Gure wuban bari, Yari ganga ya gapa gudulunggu banggu Wurunda nungu gundi Yau banggu gure uban bari.
Unlike Uncle Miklo, I don't yet know my language. But I've tasted the leaves of the saltbush and I've listened to the birds flocking over the lagoon, and that feels like a good place to start.
That's who I am. The songs, the stories, the mountains, the rivers and the air. That's not my people. That's who I am.
That was Michael Jarrett, Chairman of the Murubai Aboriginal Language and Culture Cooperative and an Aboriginal Language and Culture Officer with the New South Wales Education Department. You can find the rest of the Speaking to Country series on theguardian.com, and we've linked to the latest story on the full story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria and me. Sound design and mix by Joe Koning. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Ella Archibald-Binge. Thanks for listening.